Exodus chapter 15, beginning at verse 9. It reads as such: the enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. I think that is the tactics of the enemy. I will pursue, I will overtake, and I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with thy wind, the sea covered them, they sank as lead in the mighty waters. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee? Glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders. Thou stretchest out thy right hand, the earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto the holy habitation. We see this text is after the occurrence at the Red Sea, God's people praising him for what he had done. Amen. I wonder if you could lift a hand toward heaven. Let's pray together right now in the name of Jesus. Lord Jesus, we are so thankful for your presence. Oh, come on, let's not just go through the formalities, but I wonder if someone will just begin to pray and begin to ask for God's presence and his anointing to touch and to move here in this house. Lord Jesus, we need you today. We can't make it without you. We need your presence. We need your anointing. We need your touch. I pray, Lord God, right now in the name of Jesus, that you would minister, that you would have your way, that your will would be accomplished in the name of Jesus. I thank you, God, for what you're going to do here. I thank you, God, for what you've already done. I pray, Lord God, that your word would go forth with demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that you would be uplifted, that you would be exalted, that you'd be glorified in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Somebody say, in the name of Jesus. Oh, come on, in the name of Jesus. Oh, come on, one more time. Say it like you mean it. In the name of Jesus. Now go ahead and clap your hands and give the Lord some praise here. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen. Lord bless you. You may be seated in the name of Jesus. We see throughout the scripture, time and time again, that God's people often found themselves in precarious, impossible, odds stacked against them positions. Enemies on one side and graves to be made on the other side. Outnumbered and by all appearances, their demise was coming soon. No, they were not always the most skilled warriors. No, they weren't always the strongest men. No, they weren't even always the bravest men. It always seemed like God would take them to positions in their journey where it would seem to most that there was no way of escape. We read the account of the crossing of the Red Sea, and oftentimes we lose the gravity of the event, how the odds are insurmountable. You have a mighty army of men covering the hillsides. And there they are with their swords, their shields, and their chariots, glistening in the Egyptian sun, closing in on a multitude of unarmed and untrained men, women, and infant children. When Pharaoh's army captured them, there was not going to be this friendly discussion about, well, why don't you all just come back to Egypt and we can just be friends and get along. No, that wasn't going to happen. But they were going to die at the hands of the Egyptians. They were going to be slaughtered. Men, women, children, young and old, they were going to die because they had disobeyed Pharaoh and his instructions. And so the children of Israel, they knew that they were going to die because they even cried out to Moses, what? Since there was no graves in Egypt, you brought us out here into the wilderness so we could die here. They were ready to surrender. They were ready to give up. You see, there's something you can do that God cannot do. I know you've been taught all of your life that God can do anything, but you know that there's things and there's aspects in your life that you can do some things that God cannot do. When you know that God cannot lie, amen, look at your neighbor and tell him, you can lie, but our God cannot lie. Amen. There's some things that you can do that God cannot and will not ever do. You've been told all your life that God can do anything, but that's not true. What can you do that God cannot do? Here's something. You can do everything you can. God can never get to the point where he has done everything that he can do and there's nothing else that he can do. We see sometimes the doctor says to you, I've done everything that I can do. Sometimes the counselor says, I've done everything that I can do. Sometimes the accountant says, I've done all I can do. But God has never, nor will he ever come to the point that he says, I've done everything that I can do. Because there is nothing impossible for my God. Habakkuk chapter 3 verse 3. It says this. God came from Teman, the Holy One from the Mount Paran. Selah. His glory covered the heavens and the earth was full of his praise. And watch this verse 4. And his brightness was as the light. He had horns coming out of his hand, and there was the hiding of his power. That was the hiding of his power. May I tell you, when the heavens begin to shake and the earth begins to tremble, lightning flashes, God is still hiding his power. When storms are ceased, dead are raised, blind eyes are open, chains are loose, walls come down, God is still hiding his power. When the paralytic legs begin to leap, mute mouths begin to speak, lepers are cleansed, demoniacs are liberated and demons flee. God is still hiding his power. When cancer is cured, people are delivered from addictions. Relationships are instantly restored. People dance and rejoice in the presence of God. God is still hiding all of his power. There is nothing that can compare to the presence of God. When you read it in one commentary, it says it like this, a hiding of his power. There was a hiding of his power. In other words, God has hid more than he has revealed to us. You think that when you get into the presence of God and you feel his presence touch you from the top of your head to the soles of your feet, amen, you feel liberated, you feel set free, amen, God is still hiding more power than he has revealed unto you. We've just seen a glimpse of his presence. Have you ever felt like you're in a situation where there's no way of escape, like you've tried everything? I think that is in times like this, when you have tried everything, when you've done it all on your own, when you're ready to give up, that God stands up from his throne, figuratively speaking, and says, you know what? You've tried everything. You've tried to do it on your own strength. You tried to do it on your own might. You've tried to do it on your own being. But if you just give me a chance and let me do it, I can do the impossible. I can do what you cannot do. I can do what the doctor cannot do. I can do what the counselor cannot do. I can do anything. It's in life that many of us have found ourselves at one time or another where we've tried everything and it doesn't get better. It just gets worse. I was reading a document about a particular painting. Annually in Europe, they have a world-renowned chess tournament that has taken place for decades. People from around the world will come and display their brilliance in the game of chess. Anybody here play chess? Yeah, tons of people. I see. Like, Brother Getter, we play Monopoly, but not chess. We play checkers, not chess. I mean, that's... My father used to play chess a lot. I played chess a little bit. My son plays. I stopped playing chess when my son could beat me in chess. I said, I'm done. I'm not going to play chess any longer. If I can't win, I don't want to play it anymore. But they have this chess tournament. People come from around the world. And one of the backdrops for this tournament is the painting that you'll see there on the screen. And this painting, it is called Checkmate. And what it illustrates, and for those that are not literate in chess, checkmate means when the game's over. You know what I mean? Checkmate. They say checkmate when, and checkmate is accomplished when the king, which is the strongest figure on the board, when the king can no longer maneuver to a position and he is trapped, and that is checkmate. And so this painting is displayed there at this tournament as a backdrop. And what it illustrates is on one side, that man with the hat, that actually illustrates the devil. And the man on the other side depicts a soul or us. And in the background, you see an angelic figure looking down. And if you could see it a little bit closer, you would see that the devil has somewhat of a grin upon his face. And he is elated and he is excited. And the young man on the other side of the table, he's distraught. He's distressed because the positions of the table have been arranged in such a manner that the devil has that young boy in checkmate. And so this painting dating back into the 1700s is displayed at this chess tournament. And during one of the matches, one of the most elite players was sitting there at the table going through a heated battle of chess and frustration. He got up from the table and began to pace around that Colosseum. And he walked up and he began to look at that painting. And as he began to look at it, he looked around and he looked and he shrugged his shoulders. He began to look at other people and they could see that he was somewhat perplexed as he looked at this painting, and you could see him just pointing and his mind began to race, and suddenly he began to shout, "It's not correct. The king has one more move. It is not checkmate. The king has one more." You don't hear me? I want to tell somebody, the king has one more move. You might think that the odds are stacked up against you, but if God be for me, it doesn't matter if the whole world is against me. It doesn't matter if the devil comes down like a mighty flood. Amen. Nothing that comes up against me shall overcome me, because I have God on my side. Look at somebody and tell them, it's not checkmate. God is on my side. The king has one more move. Oh, you're not going to help me preach. Maybe you want to be satisfied. Maybe you want to be content. Maybe you want to be stuck. Maybe you want to be trapped. But I've got a God that is ready to show up. He's ready to show off. He's ready to bring you out of the midst of the burning fiery furnace. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ever ask or think. Nothing is impossible for my God. Look at somebody and tell him, God is going to work it out. God is going to take care of it. God is on my side. Hallelujah. Go ahead and give God some praise here. Oh, come on. Go ahead and give God some praise here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. You may have given up. You may have thrown in the towel, surrendered, heading for the hills. But there is a mighty God that is standing up from his throne, proclaiming, you might be done, but I'm not done. I'm able to take care of your problems. I'm able to take care of your sickness. I'm able to bring you out of the trial. I'm able to do it. It reminds me of the woman who is caught in the very act of adultery. This account has often amused me because I believe there are some glaring questions we have to ask ourselves. Number one, if she was caught in the very act of adultery, why was she brought by herself? Oh, come on, it takes two to tango. Number two, why was it the religious, the devout, the holy men were the ones snooping around enough to catch her in the very act of, whose windows were they peeping through? Can I tell you, if you're looking for trouble, chances are you're going to find trouble. If you're looking for problems, chances are you're going to find problems. If you're looking for difficulties, chances are you're going to find difficulties. If you're looking for flaws and imperfections in people's life, you're going to find it. But why don't you make up in your mind, I'm going to get the beam out of my eye before I try to get the speck out of my brother's eye. I'm going to take care of my problems before I try to take care of the Pharisees run to Jesus with the law in one hand and stones in the other hand. Can I tell you, if you ever want judgment, if you ever want condemnation on a guilty person's life, don't ever throw them at the feet of Jesus Christ. But if you're looking for that, take them to the religious people. Take them to a bunch of pious preachers who think that they've never messed up in their life. Take them to those bunch of religious, self-righteous people and throw them down at their feet, because they're quick to judge. They're quick to hold back mercy. They're quick to run from the grace of God. But if you're looking for a loving Savior that is able to forgive you of all of your sins, it doesn't matter how much you messed up. It doesn't matter how far you've run from the cross of Calvary. If you're ready to throw yourself down at the feet of the Master, He is faithful to forgive you of all of your sins. Aren't you thankful that He forgave you? Aren't you thankful that He shed His blood? Amen. He delivered you from the midst of that burning fiery furnace. He saved you from the storm. Amen. He extended grace and mercy to your life. Hallelujah. We're so quick to want mercy. We're so quick to want grace. But so slow to extend it to those that have fallen, those that have messed up, those that have made mistakes. I mean, if we can ever get the Spirit of Jesus Christ, that He looked at them. You see, that's what they did when they brought that woman who was caught in the very act of adultery. Jesus did not deny the fact that she was guilty. Jesus did not deny the fact that there was a consequence necessary for her sin. But the consequence, you see, when they came to Jesus, they said, we've caught this woman in the very act of adultery, and the law says that we should stone her. They threw her at the feet of Jesus Christ. Amen. And they tried to put her in checkmate. They said, we caught her. And then she stuck. The law, the word says that she should be stoned. But Jesus Christ, He reached down into that dust and He said, you know what? You're quoting the word, but I want to show you I am the word. And you are saying checkmate, but I'm telling you, the King has one more move and she is going to be forgiven. And He told the woman, thy sins be forgiven. Go and sin no more. Where are thine accusers? Oh, come on, maybe you'll be honest with me. You've been there before. You've been looking for someone that'll just extend a little bit of mercy your direction. You've been in a situation where you need a God that is not going to slam the hammer down on your life. The Bible says we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We've all messed up. We've all made mistakes. That's why we need repentance in our life. That's why we need a God who will give us grace and mercy. That's where I think the devil wants to take us. The devil wants to take us to a situation where it looks like the odds are stacked up against you. Amen. You're too strong looking. Come on over here. Come on, Joe. Come help me out. Come on, Daryl. Right here. I mean, this is where. Many of us have found ourselves in life. I mean, He's quick. He could probably outrun you. I'm not going to deny that. You should see this boy on the field playing football. I mean, they call him Happy Feet because he's, I mean, running down the field. I think he said 150 yards yesterday or something like that. I mean, he's quick. He's good. But if you want to jump in the ring with Brother Julian, I'm going to tell you, you better not try to fight. You better run. But if we're truthful, we all have found ourselves in this position where we look at our problems. We look at our circumstance. We look at what we're going through. And really, if it's up to us, we are not going to win the battle. We're not going to win this fight. But that's where God steps in and says, you know what? You don't have to fight this battle. I'll fight the battle for you. I'll take it. Looks like you're in checkmate. But the king has one more move, and he's able to fight the battle for you. He's able to put the enemy on the run. Amen. If God be for us, it doesn't matter if the whole world is against us. Amen. No weapon formed against us shall in any wise prosper. Amen. I've got the king on my side. And I hear the voice of the Lord saying to us in the midst of our pain, the king has one more move. In the midst of our trial, the king has one more move. In the midst of our sickness, the king has one more move. In the midst of the bad report, the king has one more move. Hallelujah, hallelujah. As I was studying and preparing for this message, my heart began to think about your sister Debbie. And as we begin to pray and we begin to think about what you were going through, amen, the reports that we were receiving, it was not looking too optimistic. It was looking like the odds were stacked up against us. It was looking difficult. It was looking treacherous. But God said, I'm not over. It may look like checkmate to you, but the king has one more move. Amen. I'm going to bring you out of this. Amen. The doctor says it's impossible, but the king has one more move. Your family says it's impossible, but the king has one more move. Hallelujah. Somebody go ahead and give God some praise here. God is not over. God is not finished. He's got one more move. Hallelujah. You feel like you're in checkmate. You feel like you're in checkmate. You know, every time the devil tells you, checkmate, you just need to say, oh no, it looks like checkmate. Amen. When I look in the natural, it looks like checkmate. When I look in my own carnal eyes, it looks like checkmate. But God is able to move in the midst of my need, in the midst of my problem, in the midst of my hurt, in the midst of my pain. God is able to do a miracle. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Each and every one of you, if you're honest with yourself, you found yourself in that position. I would venture to say that when you came to the Lord, the devil told you, checkmate. He said, it's over. You're done. You might as well give up. You might as well throw in the towel. I mean, the devil just riding off into the sunset. God is saying, I'm not over. I'm not done with you. Amen. If you'll just hold on to God's unchanging hand. I wonder if you lift a hand toward heaven right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. The king is not over. The king is not finished. The king has one more move. Amen. God is on your side. If God is there with you, don't worry about it. Hallelujah. 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 One particular patriarch of faith that I would have to look at and say that maybe he felt like he was in checkmate would be Job. Job, certainly, if we were to put a biblical figure on the other side of that table and that painting there, certainly would have to be Job. Satan was testing and trying him, took all of his family, took his health, his wealth, his prosperity, friends forsook him. His body was covered in blistering boils. Truly, Satan must have looked at Job and his demise with a grin on his face. He nodded with confidence and pointed his finger down at Job, and he cried out those words, checkmate, checkmate. But then we read a verse in Job chapter 42, verse 16. It says this: after this lived Job 140 years and saw his sons and his sons' sons even four generations. So Job died being old and full of days. After this, I believe that many of us here in this house are standing on the edge of an after this moment. After the bankruptcy, I'm coming out on the other side. after the foreclosure, I'm coming out on the other side. After the divorce, I'm coming out on the other side. After the jail, I'm coming out on the other side. After the death of a loved one, I'm coming out on the other side. After the drugs, I'm coming out on the other side of this. After the sickness, I'm coming out on the other side of this. After the surgery, I'm coming out on the other side of this. After I lost my job, I'm coming out on the other side of this. After the pain, I'm coming out on the other side of this. After the trial, I'm coming out on the other side of this. After the trauma, after the betrayal, after the discouragement, after this, I'm coming out. Look at somebody and tell them, after this, I'm going to make it. After this, I'm coming out. After this, amen. If you can just begin to praise God in the midst of the pain, and after this is on the way, if you can just begin to praise God in the midst of the storm, and after this is on the way, if you can just begin to praise God in the midst of the trial, and after this is on the way. Hallelujah, hallelujah. After the depression, after the hurt, after the pain, after this, I'm coming out. Weeping may endure for a night, but after this, joy cometh in the morning. Genesis chapter 9, verse 28, it says, and Noah lived after the flood 350 years. After the flood. After, do a little study. Noah lived longer. You don't hear me. Noah lived longer after the flood than he did before the flood. Amen. It's so easy to get stuck in the trial. It's so easy to get stuck in the flood. It's so easy to get stuck in the proclivity and all of the pain. But after the flood, you're going to be greater. After the flood, you're going to be stronger. After the flood, you're going to be more anointed. After the flood, God is going to give you double for your trouble. I'm not going to give up in the flood. I'm not going to surrender in the trial. But after that, God has a promise for me. After that, God has a blessing for me. Hallelujah. Why don't you stand to your feet? Give God some praise here in this house. After this, you're going to make it. After the trial, you're going to make it. After the pain, you're going to make it. After the storm, you're going to make it. After the heartache, you're going to make it. After the surgery, after that, you're going to make it. Hallelujah. 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 I see Jesus hanging on the cross. I see him hanging on the cross there. Hands outstretched wide. All of the devils, all the demons in hell marching around the cross of Calvary. They're smiling, they're joking, they're jesting, they're pointing at Jesus. Jesus cries out those words, "It is finished." And all of hell begins to rejoice and they begin to cry out, checkmate. All of hell is inebriated at that moment. They begin to rejoice. They begin to celebrate. And they begin to cry out, checkmate. His dead, cold body is placed in a dark, treacherous tomb. A stone is rolled in front of it. And all of hell is rejoicing. They're saying, checkmate. We've got the king. We've defeated him. We're on the winning side. But then I hear a voice that comes from heaven saying, the king has another move. Oh, you don't hear me. The king has another move. 3 days later, when... Hallelujah, hallelujah. 3 days later went by. Amen. The earth began to tremble. Heaven began to shake. Angelic choirs began to stand at attention. And the stone was rolled away. And the king took another move. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The king has another move. I said the king has another move. The king has another move. He's not over He's not done. The king has another move. I want to tell somebody here, you might die. If the rapture doesn't come, we're all going to die. And they're going to stand there at your funeral, and they're going to say all kinds of things about you that they would never say to you when you were alive. Oh, what a nice person they are. Oh, they've done so much. But they'll stand there and they'll sing the songs. They'll lay the flowers on the casket. They'll stand there at the graveside crying and mourning. But it's not over. Because the king has another move. I hear the word of the Lord. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, but the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye there steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for your labor is not in vain. I'm just going to make this statement because I believe it just might be true here today. There's people, you are not ready. I hope that day doesn't come for you today. But God is standing here saying, if you'll just come to me, just repent of your sins. Just be baptized in his name. Just be filled with his spirit. The king has another move in your life. You think it's over. You're ready to throw in the towel. You're ready to give up. But I hear the voice of the Lord saying, I've got another move. I'm not done with you. I'm not finished. My work for you is not complete. The king has another move for you. Or could you just lift a hand toward heaven right now in the name of Jesus? Right now in the name of Jesus. Right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord God, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. The king. Every time the devil tells you checkmate, tell him no. The king has another move. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm looking for some honest people here today. I'm looking for some people that are willing and ready to let God move one more time in their life. Some people that will acknowledge, God, I need you. Maybe you're here today under the sound of my voice and you've not yet taken that step to the cross of Calvary. I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would step out of your seat. You would come walking down to this altar, come walking down to the front of this church, and you would say, God, I need you. I need you one more time. Hallelujah. I need you to move in my life. I need a breakthrough.